Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM Corporation Tivoli Talk ROI Tool for Maximo Sellers conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Cy Englert. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Jody. I appreciate that. First of all, I'd like to extend a warm welcome to all of our Maximo reps. Thank you for joining today's call. Hopefully today's call afterwards will provide you with a good tool that you can use in your selling process and close more business for all of us. I would also like to start with introducing my colleague, Regan Shieldstone. Regan and I used to work for Tivoli back right after the acquisition in Campbell, California. It's wonderful to be working with Regan again. Regan is one of the world's Tivoli value consultants, and her primary role is to work with the sales teams in the Americas, producing these ROI business cases for customers, and she'll probably be working with quite a few of you over the next, hopefully, years. She's been working with the tool that Alinea has built for IBM for about 5 years, and so she's got some of the most extensive experience in both putting together rapid value analysis as well as experience with the various versions of the tool as they've come out. I am the program manager for the Tivoli BVA project office, and the project office purposes really is to support the tool by working with our development teams to add each product as they become available and update it for various versions as they're released. My secondary job is to enable the world to use the tool. So that's what we're here to do today. So I'll go to the next slide. I can, there we go. So our objectives today, real briefly, is to understand why the IBM Business Value Analyst tool is important, when to use it, how to use it, and where to go to support for support afterwards. I think one of the most important aspects to remember is for most of our large Tivoli deals, our customers have to create a ROI or a business case. Alinea says over 80% of those projects of 50,000 or more require such an analysis. And more importantly, our customers are not business case experts and oftentimes welcome our support to create and provide them with a list of benefits that they can carry forward. And we certainly can't forget that when it comes to large organizations where CIOs manage multiple IT projects, that one of their primary ways of comparing those projects and making purchasing decisions is based upon metrics such as ROI or net present value. And so the more information that we can provide in this context gives us a leg up and helps our customers make their decisions to buy our products. On slide 4, we try to differentiate and provide some terminology for the IBM BVA tool. The tool itself is used within the company and with our business partners in two ways. The first thing that the tool can actually provide is called a rapid value analysis. And that's a very short process. It usually takes 1 to 2 weeks to complete from start to finish. I've never seen a situation where we have actually charged the customer for an RVA. And the primary audience that actually creates these for our customers are sales teams. So it's the reps and the SEs together. And what really enables such a quick and rapid value analysis are features within the tool itself called templates. And it's those templates that I spend most of my time with on the job, because it is these templates that we have, one for automation, security, and storage, and soon we'll have one for asset management. But those templates that basically have each one of the Tivoli products in it and have predefined benefits that the development teams and Alinium have collaborated to create. And the second way that the tool is used is actually without those templates, or shall we say even supplementing those templates with custom benefits. And oftentimes that is done by our industry and services teams. It is most of the time a fee-based service and often takes up to 2 months to create, simply because we, from an IBM perspective, come into the customer's account, we interview the customer, we truly understand how they're doing their business today. We've architected a new process and a new vision with our solution, and as a result, we actually can create customized benefits for how the customer operates. And so that process is a much more engaged process. So when you hear those two terms, an RVA versus a BVA, it's important to understand the difference. And today we're focused on doing a rapid value analysis, the things that the salespeople can do quickly and easily. So we look a little bit more about what an ROI or a rapid value analysis provides. I'm often, when I do enablement sessions out in the field, reps often, invariably somebody will say that their customer has challenged them in the past about trying to, ask them if IBM stands behind their ROI or whether we guarantee those results. And of course, I'm not sure whether that's a realistic question for those people who understand what an ROI is anyway, but it's important for you to be able to answer that question confidently, that it really is our best estimate on really what the potential ROI is. And it's based upon lots of assumptions. Certainly from the very basic part of it, that we have a list of benefits that have been defined by development and Alinean. They may or may not be applicable to a certain customer environment. The methodologies that we use to calculate those benefits are basically ways that we look at the business and be able to estimate what a particular benefit is. It's certainly not an exact science. One of the benefits of the BVA tool that Alinean provides is a default for most, if not all, of the questions on the questionnaire. That provides us with a very easy way to create an ROI based upon industry's, averages. And an example of that would be salaries in a given country in a given geographical region. But all those assumptions need to be validated with the customer so that we can provide a more accurate ROI. And last but not least, our potential return on investment is based upon a successful software implementation. And those of us who have worked on implementations know that that can be a challenging effort, especially if we're trying to change the process or the way that people do their jobs. So if an ITIL process is being implemented or changed, that's going to create a lot more risk and a potential to have a lower return on investment. So the bottom line is that we have a lot of assumptions, and it's just a way that we could accurately calculate and estimate what the true potential ROI is. So I want you to feel confident in being able to answer that question, that we're doing the best job that we can given the situation. On slide six, it's kind of valuable to just have a general idea about how an engagement works with a customer. And quite often, especially in the larger deals, we'll start by introducing the ROI tool. We'll ask for an ROI sponsor, which will help basically do the validation aspects of the inputs to the tool. We have a white paper on our website, which I'll point out earlier, but we use that as a way to level set a customer on our approach. It's been validated by IDC, and give them some background on the IBM BVA tool. The next step is basically to complete the questionnaire. Regan will show that to you later on in the demo. You'll see how straightforward that is. But that allows us to generate our first report, which is what we call the straw report. And it's basically the first draft. And it's from that first draft that we can go back to the customer and we can validate those inputs, both from a industry standard, from questions that relate specifically to the company itself, and also from the cost perspectives, which come from the IBM sales teams. And that validation process may generate additional requests for more information, they have to go off and find in the company. But ultimately, we can generate a new report, and that process can be repeated until the customer feels confident that we've done a very thorough job in being able to refine that ROI report as well as we can. And that, now oftentimes that basically provides us with a report and a presentation that we can take to upper level management for their decision to purchase the Tivoli solution. On slide 7, I think that, the most important aspect of this is that there's many places to use the ROI tool in the sales cycle, and quite often right after you have decided what products that are in the mix, you can use it to start setting a buying vision about what the benefits can be. And so you can produce a straw ROI, you'll actually get the list of benefits. Now you can start talking to the customer about ways that they may have not thought about how the tool can benefit them. Additionally, more often than not, what I've seen is that we are often locked into working with first-level, second-level managers within an organization during at least the preliminary aspects of the sales cycle. And what's interesting about when you bring a ROI business case out to a customer or to a first-level manager, and you're talking about internal rates of return and net present value, they'll immediately want you to talk to somebody higher in the organization or even the CFO. And what's interesting is those people are very interested in talking about solutions which bring a return on investment to the company. So that's one of the key reasons for using the IBM BDA tool. I have seen on occasion that if you have incorporated the ROI tool early into a sales cycle, that we often get into a POC or a POT during the validation or, shall we say, near the end of the deal. And what's nice about that is that we can now start pre-positioning the tool in specific relationship to some of the benefits that the tool provides. And so now you can have the POT or the proof of concept actually providing perhaps some validation for the benefits that's in that report. A very useful way of actually using it. I think that it would probably be accurate to say that after speaking with a lot of sales teams that have actually used the tool successfully, the number one benefit that they discuss that the ROI tool provides is it really accelerates the opportunity, allows us to close opportunities faster. And the reason for that is that basically you've created a measurement that basically says that they're going to save a certain amount of money every year that the tool is actually in production. And so it becomes almost a motivation to buy and implement the tool faster. And so it reduces the total time of the sales cycle. I think that's a critical element, especially in markets like today. Lastly, and this is where most teams, if they haven't already used the BVA tool early in the sales cycle, will actually look at trying to use the tool during the very end of the sales cycle to justify the opportunity in business terms. Once again, you'll find that the tool is really nice and provides you with an automated report and presentation generator that is well worth using the tool for. And there are samples of those on our website today. This on slide 8 is sort of a summary of what I just said. Basically, there are three areas in which you can use the ROI tool during the sales process effectively, so I'll let you read that at your leisure. But we'll just wrap up here so that we can get started with showing you the actual tool itself by providing you with a list of benefits of the IBM BVA tool. I've mentioned a few of them. I would like to point out a few more, that the IBM BVA tool on the second benefit, not only will you have better access to customer executives, but we often get trapped in a commodity market type of discussion. And so we focus a lot of our discussion into feature and function comparisons. And the IBM BVA tool helps us elevate that conversation by talking about benefits that our tools provide. And that's quite useful because at least it broadens the conversation and deletes so much of the conversation, which is often feature and function focused. The fourth benefit on this slide I think is also kind of valuable, and the fact that we can, the tool actually, as Regan will discuss with you, allows us to set the implementation of our products so that benefits can be realized. And in the process of doing that, we actually start discussing implementation. And so we're doing an assumptive close that they have the tool, and we're having them think about how we're going to implement and deploy the tool, which helps us also in our sales efforts. And lastly, the very last benefit I wanted to point out, that quite oftentimes if you know that your customer is having to create a business case internally to justify the purchase of our solutions, they quite often will use the results, the report of our tool in their presentations, in their work, if not use our tool exclusively in that effort to justify our business solutions. So let's not hesitate to offer that. And I'll wrap up with the resources foil. I want to point out that IBMers can actually reach our homepage, which has the information that I've discussed today. You can go to the Extreme Leverage homepage and search for BVA Tivoli to access that web link. Business partners have access to similar information off of the TKE and their partner World ID. Access and training materials are quite readily available on our website today. I've added a section called Getting Started in 5 Easy Steps. It takes people from zero knowledge to actually having created their first straw ROI. I think it's a very useful section, and it's very valuable for people that have not used the tool yet. Partners can send their requests for training and access to me at roi@us.ibm.com. And that's also an ID that all Tivoli and Maximo sales reps can contact me on at the Worldwide ROI Program Office. So we welcome your emails. So I'll turn it over to Regan, but before we do that, I'd like to open up the call for questions.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question about this portion of the program, please press star 1 on your telephone keypads now. If you're using a speakerphone, please be sure your mute button is turned off. Once again, that's star 1. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone a chance to respond. And we'll take our first question from Dan Fitzgerald.
Hey, Si and Regan. Thanks very much for the information this morning. You mentioned, or I guess you implied that the Maximo stuff will be in an upcoming release of the tool. Did you mention a deadline? A date when that's expected?
Thanks, Dan, for mentioning that. The actual good news is today we're going to show you the tool using or building a business case with Tamit and SRM. That is actually in production today in the automation template. The Maximo asset management tool has been delayed a little bit, and it should probably be out within 4 to 6 weeks. And that will be in the asset management template. So it'll have its own separate template, and we will add Tamit and SRM to it. Does that answer your question?
Yep, that's great. That's real soon.
Sorry that I didn't mention that earlier.
Nope, no problems. Thanks.
And it appears that we have no other questions at this time.
All right, Megan, thank you. You're on.
Okay, great. One comment is we're going to be looking at some screenshots from the tool, and it might be useful in terms of reading some of the smaller print if you maximize the viewing area. And there's a button in the upper right-hand corner of your screen that would let you maximize. So if you proceed to slide 12, let's see. There we go. Okay. There are actually two different versions of the tool. One is a standalone desktop version, and the other one is a server version. Both tools are identical, but it gives you the flexibility to choose which one you want to use depending on your circumstances. The standalone version is what you download when you initially register and implement the tool, and it puts an icon on your desktop, as well as you can access it from the Start Programs button. And both of those will start the desktop version. I provided the link here if you want to use the server version, and there's some nice advantages of using server version. For example, you can invite other people to collaborate on the project with you, and you can all be looking at this and working on the same copy of the analysis. In order to keep the two in sync, there is a synchronization process so that you can be sure that you've got the same analysis information on both the standalone and server versions. When you either start the standalone version or go to the server URL, the first screen that you see is the login screen. If you're on the server version, you will also see a forgot password and can reset your password automatically if you need to do that. Let's see. Okay. And then once you log in, you're going to see a screen that lets you either open an existing business case if you have them. I've been doing this for 5 years, so I've got a heck of a lot of existing business cases out there. When you first start, that panel will be blank for you. Or on the right-hand side, you can create a new business case. And in this case, you would highlight the new analysis. You would give it a name, and I recommend that you name it, give it your customer name. And you have the option of either putting it in a folder that already exists, or you can create a new folder. And as a best practice, I highly recommend that you create a new folder for each customer. That provides you both some performance advantages as well as some security, additional security capabilities. And then you would click on Create New Folder. Create New Analysis. When you do that, you're going to get to a screen that has a tree structure on the left-hand side. And in this case, I went on and clicked on Project Selection to be able to start a new project. Now, one thing I'm going to say is that at the end of August, we've got a new version of the ROI tool being released that is primarily a lot of usability enhancements. So some of this front-end process is going to be simplified and changed and will look a little bit different once our new version comes out. So if you already had projects for this customer, they would show up in the right-hand panel. This was a brand new customer for me, so I'm just going to click on the Add a Project button right here. And that's going to take you to a slide where you can select different templates. And you'll notice that we have templates for several different brands. We've got Portal and Collaboration has a template, Rational and WebSphere. The Tivoli templates are under IT Service Management. And as I mentioned, right now, to get to asset management for IT and SRM, you would select the automation template, once again, give the project a name, and usually I have the customer name, plus I would probably put something like asset management or service desk, something like that, in the project name, and then click on creating a project. The project itself is divided up into six different tabs, and the first tab that you will show up on is the solution selection tab. And we've got probably 40 or so products under automation. They wouldn't all fit on the screen, so I did some cut and paste. Asset Manager for IT and Service Request Manager are close to the end of the screen. So scroll down and just put a check mark by whatever products you want to model. You can do a single product or you can do multiple products, and my apologies for the phone ringing in the background. I forgot to turn it off. The next section that I go to is, the questionnaire. And Cy mentioned this. You can create an initial analysis to show to the customer and then start working from it very, very quickly and easily. If you put in the industry type, in this case I chose retail, and the revenue of the company, that's going to drive a whole slew of defaults all the way through the questionnaire. And where we could get industry-specific information, we did so using Alinion's relationship with IDC plus the IBM product team's knowledge of industry information, and we used those for the defaults. In other cases, we had to come up with just what are some reasonable assumptions for a typical customer. So as you go through the process, you're going to want to refine that as much as possible, but at least it gives you a starting point that very quickly you can create a report to show the customer the types of capabilities that we have and get their interest in investing the time to refine it to more specifically to their environment. Now, slide 19 shows you a subset of the questions that are specifically related to Asset Manager for IT. So you see we collect information about the number of audits they do and how many devices they audit, what is their experience with lease penalties, what do they do with IMAX, and you can see the default information that's populated. Once you change something, the yellow color in the field will change to green. So you can very quickly look at the questionnaire and see how much of it is based on default and how much of it have you gone in and customized. There's also, you'll notice by each field, a little blue button with an I in the middle. You can click on that and it will let you add notes. Maybe you can add notes as to who told you the information that you are putting into the tool, what assumptions were made to arrive at this number. Those notes will then show up in the footnotes when you actually print a report. This is also a screenshot with some of the TSRM questions, and you'll see that we collect information on the number of calls and how many go up to level 2, level 3, and some salary information, things like that. We also ask if you are going to be consolidating service desks, because if you are, then there's some additional benefits that get driven based on that. Once you finish filling out however much you want on the questionnaire, you then would click on the benefits tab, and that shows you a summary of all the benefits that are included by default. You'll notice that there's a check mark beside each benefit. And if for some reason a specific benefit does not apply to your customer, you can remove that benefit from the analysis just by removing the check mark. Also, anything that's in blue with an underscore is a hyperlink that then lets you drill down into a deeper level of detail. And so behind each of these benefits, there is a worksheet that shows you the exact calculations that are being done. And that's one of the things that customers really like about this tool is there's no smoke and mirrors that they get from a lot of other vendors. They can see exactly what the assumptions were. They can modify essentially any of the assumptions until they have something that they're comfortable with. I'm just going to show a couple of representative benefits because we don't have time to go through all of them in great detail, but I want to be able to point out a few things. So this first benefit that we're looking at is for software purchase avoidance. And in the as-is column, essentially all of the information in there is either coming from the questionnaire or it's calculated in some fashion. So if you want to make changes to anything in the as-is column, you would go back to the questionnaire and do it there. The benefits with IBM column are the default assumptions that we worked determined between the product development team and Alinion as to what would be reasonable savings to expect from that set of products in this area. So in this case, you'll see that we are assuming that we can reduce the annual server spend and the annual PC software spend by 5%. Anything that's in the yellowish-white field can be overwritten. So if in your environment you think that it's reasonable to be a bit more aggressive or maybe you need to be a bit more conservative, you can change these default assumption numbers. On slide 23, you'll see the asset auditing savings benefit. And you can see how these show exactly how the calculations are made, and the customer can either agree with them or disagree with them, but it gives you a wonderful opportunity to have some very in-depth discussions with the customer about what is reality in their environment, what can they realistically expect. And that's one of the big benefits of using this tool that I've heard from account teams. In a lot of cases, they say that the discussions that they're able to open up with the customer are more valuable than the actual ROI document that's produced at the, as the end result. Also, in some cases, it gets them access to people within the organization that they would not otherwise have had access to. Now, just like on the questionnaire, you'll see the little eye icons, so you can add comments or information to support your assumptions. There's also a book icon here, and if you click on the book icon, it gives you a brief summary of all of the products that affect this specific benefit with a sentence or two on the functions of the product that impact that area, and then it also shows you what the default benefit assumption is. In this case, it would show you that the default benefit was the 11% for Asset Manager. Now, there's also several other tabs that provide additional information about this specific benefit. One that I'll point you to right now is the Details tab. If you go to that, it allows you to put whatever you want in this little introductory paragraph, and that's going to show up in your report as an introduction description statement for that specific benefit. So that's a great area to add additional information and to tailor it to your specific customer. Some of the benefit statements get to be very complex, and so I just wanted to show you the IMAX savings. In this one, we have assumptions related to PC installs, as well as PC moves, adds, and changes. And we split those into two different components because typically the install takes much longer than a move, add, or change. There's also a server install, move, add, change. And then it doesn't show up on this screen because it was too long, but we also gave you the capability of identifying some other category of assets. Maybe you want to be managing network routers. So you can add one other category that can be anything that you want, and you can tailor that one. I also just want to quickly show you the TSRM benefit summary. Now, I have shown these as two separate benefit summaries. If on solution selection you had selected both of them at the same time, you would get a single benefit summary that included all of the benefits for both products. But I thought that you might want to be able to see them, which ones were tied to which product, so I did them in the screenshots separately. One other capability that makes the tool very powerful, that's an advanced capability, but I want you to be aware that it exists, is there's a little icon in the upper left-hand corner of the summary table that lets you add additional benefits. So if there's something that is going to be an impact for your customer that is not a predefined benefit in here, you can relatively easily go in and add it. And if you're in a situation where you need to do that, contact me and I'll help step you through how to do that, because we just don't have time to go into it. But I want you to be aware that it is very extensible. So one of the primary service request manager benefits is the support cost reduction, and you can take a look at these calculations when you have time and just see the approach that we're taking. Based on being able to reduce the number of calls that go to the help desk, reduce the time that it takes to handle a call, and also reduce the number of calls that end up getting escalated to level 2 and level 3. This is an example of our service desk consolidation benefit, and we're assuming in this that by consolidating, you're getting some economies of scale and being able to reduce the administrative and management labor that is required to manage those individual service desks. Now, in addition, we have a service desk consolidation hardware and software savings that also assumes some economies of scale. So this specific benefit related to the labor, and there's another one related to the capital expenditures. A couple of other tabs that I want to point out to you just so you can go in and explore them is there's a realization tab, and this allows you to set some metrics to control how and when different benefits are actually realized in the timeline. And I think I have a screenshot that shows a little bit of that. So before we start in the investment section, let me open it up for questions. Do you have any questions about the information that we've covered so far? And also at this time, I also see on the list that there's a couple of you that I've worked with in performing ROI analyses, so glad to see you here. Any questions now?
And ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, that is star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for another moment. And we have no questions at this time.
Okay, great. Once you've gone through and looked at the benefits and done any modifications that you want there, the next step on page 28 would be to add the cost information into the equation. Just like on the benefit summary table, you can remove check marks to take out any of the line items that you don't want to include in the report. There's a few that we really highly recommend that you do include. Obviously, you'll want to include license and maintenance, but we also suggest that you include hardware costs of what's required to actually run the solution. In some cases, you might legitimately not have any hardware costs if you're assuming that the customer already has the hardware in place. But one of the things that we find is that the more complete you can be in the cost section, the more credibility that you gain with the customer. All too often, they see ROIs come in just with the license and maintenance cost, and all of our customers know that that's not realistic. So try and be as complete as you can in the cost. On the operating expense side, that's where you would put professional services costs, but also consider the labor that's going to be required from the customer, both in terms of participating in the implementation, even if services is doing most of the work, and then on an ongoing basis, what's going to be required for them to support and maintain the solution. So this is just an example of a couple of the different cost items. And one of the things that you'll notice is that when you first key in your licensing cost, the tool will automatically populate the maintenance based on a 20% maintenance of that cost. So that's a little shortcut. You can override that if your maintenance costs are different, but at least it gives you a little bit of a head start when you're just trying to do a quick analysis. And then the other one that I showed you here is an example of the ongoing Tivoli administration costs. Okay. Once you've entered all the costs, it takes the combination of cost and benefits to come up with the ROI analysis. Now, one thing just to mention is if you are looking at the benefits only and you have not entered any costs, the ROI analysis will show up as zero. So don't be surprised if you get a 0% ROI when you don't have any costs associated with it. The first section shows you the benefits on a year-by-year basis as well as on a cumulative basis. Then the same thing for the cost investment section. It can then take those two items to come up with the cash flow on an annual basis and a cumulative basis. And by looking at the cumulative basis, you can very quickly see about where you start getting payback on the analysis. And in this case, it's within the first year. The section down here then actually shows you the financials, and the two items that customers look at most frequently is the ROI and the payback. And in this case, it's an 8-month payback, and I can't see it on my screen, but it looks like about a 300% ROI, which is extremely high, extremely aggressive. In general, I like to see a payback within 12 to 24 months, although sometimes customers are specifically looking for payback in less than a year, and ROI within the 75% to 200% range. There's a lot of variables that go into that, but those are kind of rules of thumb. If you start seeing a 5 or 600% ROI, you're probably going to lose credibility with the customer, and you need to take a look at what's driving that high of an ROI. Is it realistic or not? You also get some additional financial metrics, such as a risk-adjusted ROI, which takes into account the time value of money and is driven by a discount rate that you can define. By default, it's set at 9.5%. We also calculate net present value and IRR, internal rate of return. The tool also gives you a whole bunch of graphs on each of these tabs that you have not seen in this presentation, but they can be very useful in presenting a picture worth a thousand words type of concept. So once you've gone in and put in all this information, you're going to want to get something that you can hand to the customer. And you have two options. You can get a Word report, or you can create a PowerPoint automatically. And the way you do this is from any of the screens within the project. So you're looking at something where you see those solution selection, benefit, investment, and ROI analysis tabs. But any of those screens at the very top have a print a report function listed. So if you click on that, you then get a pop-up, and you do need pop-ups enabled to run the tool that has a whole list of selections that you can make. I suggest selecting generic, and for the Word report, click the ROI full report. Then you click print a report, and that will generate the Word report for you that you can save. You can go in and tailor it, add information if you want, take out some of the graphs or redundant information that doesn't really add anything to your story, and create a very, very nice deliverable for your customer with relatively little effort. You can also generate a PowerPoint report, and the PowerPoint report needs more work to get it presentable for the customer, just because there's some things that are very hard to control. Where you've got long tables, they might not fit easily on a single slide, and it's hard to automate some of that type work. But it definitely gives you a very nice head start to create a good PowerPoint presentation for your customer. Now, a couple of these other tabs that I mentioned earlier that I just want to show you a little bit about what you can do with them. And to get to these, you select options, And the example that I'm showing here is for analysis options. And this is one that has some very, very significant information that you can tailor. The first part right here, it relates to the implementation period. And this is where you tell it how long is it going to take to implement the project, get it rolled out so that you can start receiving benefits. Our default here is 3 months, so the assumption is that you're not going to get any benefit for the first 3 months of the project. The next section is related to direct and indirect benefits. And some of the benefits are direct benefits, hard dollar benefits. Usually those are the benefits that show up in the IT cost reduction section. And those, since they're pretty predictable, we go on and calculate how much we would expect to save in that area and then use 100% of that number. If for some reason you want to, for example, build some risk into the analysis, and I just did this with one of our storage customers. They wanted a risk capability. So we bumped that down and said we're going to calculate the expected benefits, but then in the analysis we're only going to use 85% of that number. So they could go up to their upper management confident that they were being fairly conservative. Now, there's other benefits that are indirect benefits or soft dollar benefits. And this might be things like being able to increase end user productivity. That we know it's going to happen. It's reality, but it's real hard to quantify it and kind of a fuzzy number. So our default is for those indirect benefits, we're going to calculate the benefit, but then only use 10% of that in the analysis. Now, there might be cases where those indirect benefits really are important to the customer and are what's driving the decision. So you also have the ability to override that 10% and increase it. Or if you don't want to include those at all, you can set it to 0%. And then the final section down here lets you phase in projects. Maybe you've got multiple departments in the organization and you're going to be rolling it out on a department-by-department basis. So maybe in the first year you're only realizing using 50% of the departments, so you would set your realization here to 50%. And by the second year maybe you're doing 75% and then you're getting the full benefit by year three. And these numbers impact all of the benefit assumptions. So on slide 33, I show where you can get additional information and resources. And let me go back up and show you where that was. Here, I selected option. Right next to it is view. And to get to these additional resources, you would select View and then click on Resources. And the most important, all the Tivoli information is under IT Service Management. And the most important ones that I find are in the white papers. The first is that IDC validation white paper letter that I think Cy mentioned earlier, where IDC went in and took a look at the business value analyst tool. They looked at the methodology that was being used and the way that financial metrics were being calculated and said this is a sound financial tool to be using. The second one, the IDC white paper, is a bit dated now and doesn't apply to Asset Manager for IT and Service Request Manager because those products didn't exist when this paper was done. But it was, we had IDC go out and interview customers to find out if the rate types of benefits and the percentage assumptions that we were making were reasonable and valid. We hope to get that paper updated next year, but right now we've had to postpone that because of a financial crunch within the company that I'm sure you're all aware of. The next two are the most important. The Tivoli Business Value Analyst Methodology White Paper is one that Cy mentioned that goes into much greater depth about exactly how do we do a financial business case with this tool. And that is a all four of these are customer deliverables. You can hand them to the customer. So if the customer is asking for more information about our tool, the methodology paper is the one that you would want to give them. The product saving source document is the one that I use most frequently, and this has every single product that's in the tool listed, along with the benefits associated with each product, a couple of sentences about how the product achieves that benefit, and the default benefit percentage listed. So that's a very, very powerful document. And here's just an example for Service Request Manager of the types of information that you get in that product saving source document. At this time, I'd like to open it up for any questions that you might have.
And ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, that is star one to ask a question. We'll pause for another moment. And we have no questions at this time.
Okay, well, thank you all for joining, and I do encourage you to use the tool, and you can always send requests for assistance to that roi@us.ibm.com email, and I'll be happy to work with you, particularly in the first time or two that you do an analysis. It can be very helpful to work with us directly so we can make sure that you're comfortable and confident in both the tool and in how to use it and how to present it to the customer. Thank you very much, and look forward to talking to you in the future.
This does conclude today's conference. We thank you for joining us today and hope that you have a lovely rest of your day.